Hello, world. It's a Friday special edition of Hello, World, as we minister the final day of the fall fundraiser at WHCB. So call a friend, tell him he's on the air. We're going to share some things that have been important to us over the years. Don't go away. We'll be right back. For those of you in the Elizabethan, Tennessee area, all over the place, come down Sunday morning, Sunday night to the First Free Will Baptist Church there in Elizabethan, Tennessee. How many times have we preached? I love it. The people are just great. I feel like I'm home when I'm at the First Free Will Baptist Church. So we're wrapping up the fall fundraiser on WHCB 91.5 today. And so we have a day off Saturday, and then Sunday we'll be in Elizabethan. Why don't you come join us? It's a great time with Pastor Nathan Jennings, Grady Holder leading the music there, and just a good bunch of Christian people. First Free Will Baptist Church, Elizabethan, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'll look forward to seeing you this Sunday, my friend. So what's going to happen November 3rd? Do you understand what's happening in the United States of America? I know I'm playing and beating on that same drum that I have done now for months and months and months, and I'm not going to let up. It's unbelievable what's happening to this country. It really is. Do not understand it. And I've always felt kind of good about being on target in so many areas and up to date with things, working in radio news and television news and all of that. Sure, but it is so confusing. I'm telling you, the homosexual agenda is just being pushed about anything you want to see, from television programs to commercials. There they are. Two girls together, two guys together. What in the world is going on? And then the other night, caught a bit of Hawaii Five-O, and it just struck me. They were investigating this 15-year-old girl who is a homosexual lesbian, and mom and dad wanted to send her to a Christian camp somewhere out in Idaho or Colorado, and man, what a furor. The entire cast there, the Hawaii Five-O police team, say, who do you think you are, mom and dad, telling this girl what she can and cannot be? Oh, I'm telling you, it is an absolutely sick society led by the left-leaning media. Let me ask you today, do you know where you stand? What are we talking about? Woodrow Wilson once said, "A nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today, nor what it is trying to do." Who was America yesterday? Abraham Lincoln believed that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. That's Bible. In 1811, our Supreme Court stated, "Whatever strikes at the root of Christianity tends to destroy civil government." That same body later concluded, "Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based on and include the teachings of the Redeemer." Now, when you think of all the nonsense going on today, let me pause here. Who is the author of confusion? As a Christian, you're being targeted. You are wrong. We've got to include the teachings of God. We've traveled a long way since then, and our past has been essentially forgotten, unfortunately. But it's no accident that we are where we are today. We do not merely drift to this place of moral confusion. You don't just kind of slip and fall into it. No, no. We have been led here by indifference, by those that hate God, by the cowardice of Christians in the face of evil today. In truth, until the dawn of the 20th century, America collectively believed that she was founded upon Christian principles. Sure, we did. That's been stolen from us, or maybe we've just given it away. But the 1900s brought an onslaught against our faith that has shaken this country's foundation to the core to this very year. In 1920, John Dewey, the father of progressive education, declared, "There is no God and there is no soul. There's no absolute moral code existing today, and therefore man must adjust his ethical standards according to his own judgment." His words eerily echo those written earlier by people living in the darkest ages of Israel's history. Read Judges chapter 7. Hey, here, look at verse 6. "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man," we've arrived here again, "every man did what was right in his own eyes." Isn't that shocking? Back in the year I was born, in 1947, Justice Hugo Black erroneously interpreted Thomas Jefferson's letter assuring the Danbury Baptist Association that government would not institute a state religion. And this kind of created a wall of separation between church and state that has purged Christianity from virtually all civil influence in the world today, and that's a big problem. Ignore God and His Word to your own demise. Isn't that correct, Christian? In 1962, the Supreme Court removed prayer and scripture from the public schools, stating that Bible reading in schools could cause psychological damage to the students. And next, the Ten Commandments were stripped from the public square. We've watched this debate go on for the last couple of decades and see it removed from here and there and everywhere. Without evidence to convict us of God's presence in our lives, it's very easy to ignore the commands of today. How ridiculous the world has become. In many instances, how ridiculous the church has become today. Abortion, pornography, homosexual marriage, everywhere you want to turn, my friend, God is being diminished without our consent. His very existence is being erased from our midst, trying to do away with God. America's greatest enemy does not lie outside of our borders. In the past and even today, when I preach my media messages, that is the clue right there. It's not from without the enemy comes, it's from within. We are destroyed from within. Our complacency is destroying the United States of America. It is tempting when confronted by a formidable and determined foe, and there are many, to retreat from battle. I'm just tired of it. I'm going to quit. After all, what difference can one person make in the world today? For too long, God's people have not cared about our spiritual legacy. As Christians, we have a definite responsibility to reclaim our heritage and reestablish the foundations God ordained. We are commanded to be the salt and the light. Yep, He commands that for each one of us. How you doing? My friend, you know that freedom in Jesus Christ is a choice, and often we have old feelings of inadequacy and inferiority that we unwittingly carry over into our new relationship with God. He wants to cut us loose from the bondage created by a sense that we do not deserve any blessings today. However, we must choose freedom, just as we chose to receive Jesus Christ. We cannot drift. Like that word, we cannot drift into freedom any more than we can drift into salvation or drift into evil, as we just talked about. The choice to be liberated from satanic enslavement begins a process that changes our way of thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Make no mistake, embracing freedom will incur great pressure from Satan. Though he cannot steal our salvation, he certainly wants to ruin your witness by crystallizing any feelings of inadequacy in you. The first step after committing to freedom is abiding in the Scriptures. We meditate on God's Word to understand what He says and apply what we learn. That requires more than a quick reading and a busy schedule and a busy day. And secondly, we want to be confident of biblical truth, which clearly defines our position as a child of God. As that certainty fills your thoughts, your mind, your soul, Satan's lies there about your inferiority is going to shatter like a piece of glass. And finally, we can claim the truth that we have gleaned here. When we are confronted by situations that shake our confidence, we can rely upon new thought patterns based upon the Word of God. God declares that we reject thoughts of inferiority and replace them with the accurate self-image described in the Scripture. As His servant, as His ambassador, go for it. That's knowing the truth and choosing to live by it. You know, only God knows the depth of love that you have for Him. He said of King David, "He is a man after my own heart." Isn't that some declaration? Acts 13:22. Yet we know that David was a man of war. He lied. He had a man murdered. And on at least one occasion committed adultery. How could God love such a man? Have you ever thought about it? I have many times. Better yet, how could God allow this man to rule over a nation like Israel? The answer's wrapped up in just one word, and we need to hear it more. It's called grace. Not ordinary grace, but God's grace, which is something we cannot earn on our personal merits, and despite his failures, David had a passionate love for the Lord. He could not help but love the one who gave him life and offered forgiveness for his sin. Though he failed many times, the desire of his heart was to love and obey God, and it was this love that both propelled King David to greatness and allowed him to petition his heavenly Father when he was utterly undeserving. Great message, right? Jesus said, "The one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." John 6:37. You ought to do that this Friday. For all eternity, God's love and patience has been fixed on you. No matter what you are or where you have been, his love reaches out to you. If you accept him as Savior today, realizing that his atoning death paid the full debt of all of your sin ever, you can be saved today. The passionate love of God will fill your heart, and you will receive the greatest gift of hope this world has ever known. On just about every program, we talk about the new America. What does that mean? Not the one you and I grew up in. If you're over 40, I'm talking about the changes that have come about in just the last few years. It is unbelievable, my friend. It is a new America. It is not the America you grew up in. Here's a small part of what I'm talking about. New America, new world. So can we say that they are opposing God? Duh. Two mothers in Dallas, Texas, were able to both carry their baby using a new method of vitro and fertilization. The two Texas mothers each carried their miracle baby because of a medical advance that allowed them to do what they thought was otherwise impossible. Ashley Coulter, 28, Bliss Coulter, 36, met 6 years ago, fell in love, were married. The couple who desired a baby knew that welcoming their own biological child would require a sperm donor and some creativity, and somehow they've gotten around this. It is a long, convoluted, confusing story. Obviously, us being women, we were like, how can we make this baby happen? We felt there has to be a way. Just the thought of it's crazy. But then, again, it's the new America. Well, this may be many of you, or any of you writing this. We like Facebook in the fact that you are there and we communicate back and forth, but oh, there's always a bad side. And Bob Blaine, one of my Facebookers, I was sad to read this. To all my dear Facebook friends, with Facebook censoring most of my posts and aligning themselves with the biased and racist and communist agenda out there, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I feel compelled to close my account. I will get my news from more reliable sources, non-biased, sources that are not pushing and censoring the radical leftist agenda. So to all of my dear friends and my pastor friends and Christians, know that I will be praying for all of you, and I will leave you with these thoughts from the Word of God. As we see all of these riots and beatings and killings and looting and burning of this great nation of freedom and those of God-given rights according to the laws that govern this great nation that originated from the founders of the country, as they read, studied, and applied the Word of God to one of the greatest documents of all times called the Declaration of Independence, it was written 244 years ago. It is rights and freedoms that has built and forged America that has become one nation under God with liberty and justice for all people of all races that acknowledge God as their creator. This nation was built by God-fearing, hard-working men and women who believed that they were building a better, safer life, not just for themselves and their families, but for generations to come. Now America, or as I call it, the new America, is at a crossroads as to whether the flag that symbolizes freedom, honor, and home of the brave, that millions of God-fearing patriots have fought and died for, those who have given their life's blood, arms, and legs to maintain our rights and freedoms for the great American dream of a nation with the motto, "In God We Trust," where we can raise families in a safe environment and support them with a good job and economy, where we can worship God and raise our children in an education system that will teach them to become law-abiding citizens, that will help them become anything they want to be as an occupation, to give them value and honesty and integrity and love and compassion and concern for their families and their neighbors. If you love God, America, our flag, and the vision of a safe haven for your families to live in and prosper, the choice then is up to you, to each American voter come this November, to either choose freedom or bondage, to choose America, the land of the free and home of the brave, or to choose a communist manifesto that's going to destroy our republic, freedoms, and economy, and become a third world nation, led by communist dictators who will destroy everything this great nation has stood for, and has become, and does stand for. My prayer is that people will seek God for what He would have you to do, for the betterment of your family and neighbors. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I will pray for your family's sake that you choose wisely, my friend. God bless this post, the readers, and God bless America. I'll wait a few days before I disable my Facebook so that we can say goodbye. For those of you who might not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please know that from the bottom of my heart, God loves you right where you are in your life. John 3:16-18, Romans 5:8. Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood to pay your sin debt. John 5:24, Romans 6:23. 1 Peter 1:18-20, God wants us to repent, which means to turn from our sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. 2 Peter 3:9, Hebrews 11:6, Romans 10:8-17, 1 John 5:10-14. I'm praying for you as you read these Bible verses. There's only one way to get to heaven. It is not being good, according to Romans 3:9-12. It's not anything that you can do, Ephesians 2:8-10. Salvation only happens as we believe in Jesus Christ, the one Savior. The thoughts of Bob Blaine. He's from the Alton, Illinois area and one of our Facebook friends, soon to be gone from Facebook. What do you think? Here at Greg Pat Ministries, we're going to hang in there and continue to battle that system. There are so many of you out there, and that's exciting to me. Want to be a Facebook friend? Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Oh, and I do understand where Bob's coming from, don't you? My friend, the hour is late. Jesus is coming soon. Much to be done. We need those of you out there that can to stand for the Lord now. I need a revival and spiritual renewal for the church, a revival, or for you individually. You can have one, you know. The lessons of history are to serve us as we will observe and learn. Revivals and renewals bear striking similarities from the Old Testament to today. We understand there's one going on down in Tennessee, 22 weeks, 7 days a week. That's the real thing, I think. Acts 4:23-37. And Colossians chapter 3. Hey, you know, Scripture shows us God's people, you and I, go through periods of spiritual renewal. Sure we do. And periods of spiritual decline. We might think of these times like waves, troughs, mountains, and valleys in life. That's your history. You're not high all the time. You're not in the pit all the time. Try to stay down the middle. Pretty hard to do. During a renewal, during an awakening, there will not only be a great reviving of Christians, but also a large impact on the problems of society today. I think we're seeing it politically. How did this guy get in the White House, and how's he doing so many things for the conservative, for the Christian especially? The renewal can last for many years, as did the second Great Awakening in America, or it can be rather brief, as it was in the Third Awakening in the late 1850s. You know, when the winds of renewal have passed, the church may enter a period of lethargy, possibly going on for many years, and those cycles have already been repeated many times during the 2,000 years of our church history. It's not only that the Spirit of God cannot sustain the higher life for the Christian. Rather, now get this, the Spirit allows times of decline to cause His people to pray for growth and for power to get our attention. Back in the Old Testament, renewal came to the Israelites under King Jehoash in 2 Kings 11:12, King Hezekiah, 2 Kings 18, King Asa, 2 Chronicles 15, and especially under King Josiah, that 8-year-old king. That is an amazing story. I've preached it many times from 2 Kings 22 and 23. Awakening came at the time of Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, during the return there from exile in Babylon. Read Ezra 5 and 6. And of course, Nehemiah, another great portion of encouragement for all of us. Nehemiah 8, 9, 13. The governor of Judea and the rebuilding of Jerusalem. In New Testament times, awakening came upon God's people at Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, we read yesterday, the pouring out of the Spirit set a pattern that we'll see in later awakenings. You read of a renewal that prepared the infant church for the fierce persecutions that were going to come. Spiritual awakenings, whether in biblical or church history, manifest patterns that are very similar, often strikingly so. And we're going to talk about five big things that you can notice in a revival and making the church great again. But before that, I thought we would do a little test. Do you live your life with this attitude, if it's good for me, then it's good? Is your life even 1% error? I often say that Satan doesn't care if you're 99% biblical as long as you give him 1%. Now that's kind of scary. Is your spiritual life today in neutral? God wants victors, not victims. He wants overcomers, not those that are overwhelmed. Troubleshooting your Christian life, how you doing in that walk? Here's a couple of questions that might determine that. Do I constantly rely on Almighty God? Do you really, or is it only in times of trouble and heartache? Am I working hard at pleasing Almighty God? That's a great question for every Christian listening today. Do I really want to obey Jesus Christ? Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly as the Lord commands and doing it angrily or happily, obeying Christ. Am I learning anything from the Bible? You should every day. Do I put into practice then what I learn? Am I applying it? I ask my church that at the invitation every Sunday. You going to do it this week? Something that God spoke to your heart about? You going to do anything with it? Or is it the same old, same old? Have I given up in some areas of my life? Am I building aspects of God's character into my life? Am I a good disciple, in other words? We talk constantly about the big five for a Christian: reading your Bible daily, praying daily, serving God somehow daily, fellowshipping, loving my fellow believers, and being in church on Sunday. Am I willing to? Oh, this is so hard for me. Am I willing to love my enemies? Let's think about that one. God said we're supposed to, and I oftentimes say I have other thoughts for my enemies, and loving isn't in the equation. Yeah, it just shows the flesh is really strong there yet. Am I combating the flesh, the world system, lust of the flesh, the pride of life? How are you doing in the troubleshooting here? One more. Am I resisting Satan and his demons in the power of the Holy Spirit? God doesn't want you to sink. Oh, no. He wants you to soar, my Christian friend. So the question remains, how are you doing? So, you think it's true? I've witnessed it. That revival will come, preceded by a time of spiritual depression, apathy, gross sin, in which a majority of nominal Christians are hardly different from the members of society in the New America, and the church seems to be asleep. One of the things that fascinated me in the evangelical awakening led by John Wesley and George Whitfield aroused the English conscience, and by direct political pressure and action, cured many of the ills of society at that time.
Well, that's it for Hello World. See you at the First Free Will Baptist Church this Sunday, morning and night. God bless you. Have a fantastic weekend. Look forward to Monday.